Blog Talk Radio.
Though you're blinded by tears and consumed by your fears, and your daytime has turned to night, you may be unaware, but there's someone who cares, and he's leading you to the times when you feel that you're all by yourself, like an island out on the sea. But that's the enemy's way of making you doubt, 'cause God promised he never.
Darkest hour, we are never alone. Good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is November the 21st, 2011, a few days away from Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone early. For my first time listening, Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for the family, where we talk about some of the struggles and obstacles that families face as it relates to issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. So let's talk. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Forgot to open up the chat room. The chat room is open, so I'm opening it up now. If you have questions, please type. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask questions or voice your comments. I welcome everybody for listening. Today I'm taking a little bit of a curve, so if you can just bear with me here a little bit. I wanted to take this to a different street. We're going to still talk about sexual abuse today, but we're going to turn it a little curve. We're going to take a detour for just a moment. want to read to you, coming from an activist who I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her personally, but I have definitely been a part of what she promotes. And the title of it is called Over It. And it reads, I am over rape. I have a buzz, and I don't know where this buzz is coming from. It's about to drive me nutty. Hold on. Got it, I think. Okay. Sorry about that. I am over rape. I am over the thousands of people who sign those pages with their real names without shame. I am over rape happening in broad daylight. I am over one in three women in the U.S. military getting raped by their so-called comrades. I am over the forces that deny women who have been raped the right to have an abortion. I am over women still being silent about rape because they are made to believe it's their fault or they did something to make it happen. I am over this rape culture where the privilege with political and physical and economic might take what and do what they want, when they want and where they want, as much as they want, anytime they want it. I am over the endless resurrection of the careers of rapists and sexual exploiters, film directors, world leaders, corporate executives, movie stars, athletes, while they live, while the lives of the women they violate are permanently destroyed, often forcing them to live in social and emotional exile. You live with us, make love with us, father us, befriend us, brother us, get nurtured and mother and eternally support by us. So why aren't you standing with us? Why aren't you driven to the point of madness and action by the rape and the humiliation of us? That is a powerful question. I am over years and years of being raped and thinking about rape every day of my life since I was 5 years old, and getting sick from rape and depressed from rape and enraged by rape. I am over being polite about rape. It's been so long now. We have been too understanding. We need to occupy rape in every school, park, radio, TV station, household, office, factory, refugee camp, military base, back room, nightclub, alleyway, courtroom, UN office. We need people to truly try and imagine once and for all what it feels like to have your body invaded, your mind splintered, your soul shattered. We need to let our rage and our compassion connect us so we can change the paradigm of global rape. There are approximately 1 billion women on the planet who have been raped. 1 billion women. The time is now. Prepare for the escalation. Today, it begins. And I will introduce who this is. But she says also that moving towards February the 14th, 2013, when 1 billion women will rise to end rape because we are over it. That is so powerful. And the author of this, her name is Eve Ensler. She is a Tony Award-winning playwriter, performer, and she is an activist and the author of The Vagina Monologues, which I personally, Evangelist Benson, have had the pleasure of being a part of, this playwright, back in the spring of 2009, I did perform in that that play here on campus. We do that here at the Women's Center every year now. It used to be every other spring, but it's every spring now. And her mission is V-Day. This show might be a little bit explicit today, so be prepared. V-Day stands for Vagina Day. And her mission is that V-Day is an organized response against violence towards women. It is a demand that rape, incest, battery, genital mutilation, and sexual slavery must end now. Wow. Thank you, Dr. Du, for that comment. Excellent article. I thought it was very befitting myself. And I know at the end I talked about, the article talks about genital mutilation and battery, which is where I kind of want to curve to. We don't talk about genital mutilation very much, but it is also a form of abuse. We kind of know it as, I guess we can use the acronym for today. The acronym for female genital mutilation is FGM. And so that's what I'm going to refer to it because that is truly a long word. It is defined by the World Health Organization, which we call WHO, H-W-O, as all procedures that involve particular and total removal of the external female genitalia or other injuries to the female genitalia organs for non-medical reasons. I just can't even imagine. Oh, my goodness, I can't imagine. But typically, this kind of mutilation is carried out on girls from a few days old all the way up to puberty. Okay, Dr. Du, hold on. It takes place generally in hospitals, but it usually is performed without anesthesia. Just thinking about that makes my bones chill. By traditional circumcisions using a knife, razor, and or scissors. According to the WHO, it is practiced in 28 countries in the Western, Eastern, and the Northeastern Africa and in parts of Asia and in the Middle East and within some immigrant communities in Europe, North America, and Australia. So the WHO estimates that 100 to 140 million women and girls around the world have experienced this procedure, including 92 million in Africa. That is a travesty. I just wanted to just give you a little touch of what genital mutilation was because we had not talked about that, but that is definitely a part of what I definitely consider as being sexually abused because typically this is done without consent when you're talking about children that are from a few days old after birth all the way up to age 15. And occasionally, let me just throw this in here while we're talking about this, occasionally it is done in adults. I know there's another form of abuse when we talk about women who are mentally disabled or they sometimes to keep them from being using their reproductive system, their reproductive organs, they will castrate them. And we can talk about that. That is truly a different curve as well and also needs to be included as we talk about sexual abuse. That is true. We also need to make sure that we do include men who have been raped, molested, and incest to be part of of that event on V-Day. And you're absolutely right. Dr. Dew, I definitely agree with you on there. Also in that article that I read where it talked about rape, incest, battery, genital mutilation, today I wanted to talk about the different types of batteries, sexual batteries that can take place. The first one I wanted to talk about was, in fact, sexual battery. And I wanted to give you a definition of what sexual battery is. Sexual battery is an unwanted form of contact with an intimate part of the body that is made for purposes of sexual arousal, sexual gratification, or sexual abuse. Sexual battery may occur whether the victim is clothed or not. It is a crime, and it has various state laws and local laws depending on what state you live in. So that may vary from state to state. Okay, the other thing is I also wanted to give you a state definition of what sexual battery is. Sexual battery is any person who touches an intimate part of another person while that person is unlawfully restrained by the accused or the accomplice, and if the touching is against the will of the person touched and is for the purpose of sexual arousal, sexual gratification, or sexual abuse, is guilty of sexual battery. So then, of course, your question may be, for those who are listening, well, what does sexual battery mean? It means oral, anal, or vaginal penetration by or unioned with the sexual organ of another, or the anal or vaginal penetration of another by any other object. That sounds really bad. It is. And it happens all the time. And this definitely needs to be brought to the light as well. A lot of times this is going on not only in the secular world, but it's going on in the church. We might as well put it out there. Now, we can take that to another level. Now, the next level up from what we call just a sexual battery is aggravated battery. Aggravated battery is a more serious step from battery, and it's considered a felony since it may be punished by a fine or you may be in prison for X amount of years, depending on what state you live in. A battery is a physical contact with another person to which the person has not consented. The definition of aggravated battery, of course, like I said, varies from state to state. But here is the difference. It's because the aggravation is that you are is the use of a deadly weapon, battery in which serious bodily injury occurred or there is an intent to cause serious bodily injury or harm. It involves a hate crime and battery against a police officer or a vulnerable person, such as a child or an elderly person. So we talk about this all the time. Then we can go a step further and talk about aggravated rape. An aggravated rape is an offense of rape that is committed under circumstances which render the offense more heinous. The sensitivity of the crime may be increased because these particular factors, and let me tell you what they are. The fact would be the age of the victim. Usually it's a tender age, so we're talking about a child. The blood relationship between the accused and the victim, which would get into the, you know, it could be, you know, incestuous. The victim is aged. The offender is armed with a weapon. Could be a gun, could be a stick, could be some rope, could be whatever that particular person decides to use as a weapon. More than all, and it also could be more than one offender rapes the victim, which we consider that to be gang rape at that point. Rape which occurs during commission of a specific crime, such as assault and a battery by means of dangerous weapons. constitutes aggravated rape, punishable by harsher penalties than what we consider to be just a simple rape. So we're talking about jail time. We're talking about a felony. We're talking about, you know, getting in trouble with the law. So at this point, we're talking about the state versus whomever. So we take that power and we put it into the state, and we take that guilt off of the victim so that they're not intimidated, so that they don't change their mind because they're being harassed or coerced by the person. So that was a powerful thing, especially I know for me, you know, if I would have pressed charges, even though I didn't press charges, I did at least get it out of my hands and put it into the bench so that I no longer could change my mind. And then at least an order was in place so that I had some protection. And then it became the state versus Benton, if you will. Okay, so the other question you may have is, what is the distinguish between an assault and what a battery is? Of course, as I just explained, a battery requires a volatile act, resulting in a harmful or an offensive contact with another person, and that they've committed this thing for the purpose of causing harm or an offense, or some type of offensive contact under circumstances that render such contact substantially certain to occur, with reckless regard as to whether such contact will result in some type of harm. So, and we know that an assault is just a threat of violence against another, while aggravated assault is a threat with a clear and a persistent ability and willingness to carry it out. So when we feel like we have been aggravatedly assaulted, we know that our life almost is in jeopardy, is what we're kind of going towards. I'm going to, at this point, open up the line for comments and questions. Thank you, caller 4635. You're on the air. Hello, caller 4635, those last four digits. You have a question, comment, or yes. Hello. Okay. Maybe they just want to listen. Hello, caller 6128. You're on the air. Question, comment. Hello? Nobody wants to talk today? Okay. Moving right along. That's fine. Caller 7437. You're on the air. This is Victor Cabella. Question, comment?
Good afternoon, Evangelist Benton. This is Apostle Robinson. Yes, I just want to just kind of join in there with you, chime in there with you. You know, we're thankful to God that you are using the avenues to bring an awareness that for so many years we have just kind of played down, if you will, these things that occur to individuals and the various walks of life at home and playgrounds and churches and homes and in the family and out of the family. And we're thankful that we have now these things that have just kind of gone through the system with people with lesser charges and just kind of a slap on the wrist. There's an awareness now when people with information and the technology know that there are other avenues and other ways to deal with violation, whether it's a rape or aggravated assault or whatever. You know, I'm thankful to God because in the earlier years, this was not the case in my situation and in other people's situation. And you more or less, with through God's grace and God's wisdom and coming to Him, you through trial and error and the shame and just the various things that you go through had to just more or less, you were made to feel that it was a shame or something you were, it was predestined to happen, and you just kind of just, you live with it. So it's healthy in that we can grow, we can learn, we can, the punishment can be rendered to the person that's rendering the act, and the healing can be made made available and given to the person that experiences this most unfortunate event, and then they're able to grow, to love, to give, and know that they can overcome and walk in the victory that God predestined for all of us. So it's a wonderful thing, and I just want to just chime in and say that we're thankful that you're bringing this awareness. You're not letting a certain time of day or a certain month that set aside for things of this nature. This is something that you're bringing an awareness for the community. So for that, we thank God for you. So continue the good work and the good fight, of just making us aware and letting us know that we need to deal with it. I have a saying that I believe whatever truth that is brought to our awareness, we are responsible for that truth. You know, oftentimes it's an indictment in the case of rape, with a child or someone saying that it happened and someone not believing. Then the person is re-victimized again. So we're thankful for that. So, you know, thank you for the work that you're doing. I am sorry that you went through and I went through, but as I look back, I know that God's hand was with us, and He enabled us, and He empowered us to stand for this day. We're no longer victims. We are victors. Yes. We have overcome, and we stand strong, and we look to God to maintain us and keep us and empower us. And then we took what happened, and we are no longer, some people become what they go through. And they're bitter. They're confused. The life is bad, and nothing is good, and poor old me, and they never get past that point. But thank God, through our healing, we were able to take what happened to us and not become what we experienced, but we were able to take that to heal, to grow, to love, and here today we give back. So there is. Yes. There is life after that experience, and I'm not playing down what has happened. I'm sure if the truth were unfolded on this line, there are probably hundreds of thousands that are listening silently, probably young children and young daughters and people that are in the church working, unfortunately, today, that have experienced this very thing, and they're saying, where can I go? Who can I tell? So thank God you're bringing this awareness, and that people will know that they can say this has happened, but no longer will I just remain. I will get some help. I'll get some deliverance. I'll get some healing, I'll get some treatment, because anytime something like this happens, it is life changing. You are never the same even after being healed, but you have to know what to do after, what happens after, and so you can walk in that victory. So I didn't mean to take up so much, but I just wanted to encourage you and know that you're loved and you are appreciated. And we prayerfully lift you up in prayer and whatever support and whatever capacity for bringing about this awareness at this time. This is the time we it needs to be addressed. And 1 billion, So the statistics are just staggering, and this should not be. But we do have that avenue. We have those tools. We have technology. You know, we have the videos and the tapes and the camera phones, and we have the different things. So if people were able to just, you know, just say, well, you know, this has happened, and I have this, and I have this I can use. I have this avenue. I have this person I can talk with. So we're past that, if I could use the word, the Stone Ages, where people said, oh, don't talk about it. Just, you know, just keep quiet and you'll be fine. You know, take a bath and just, you know, say whatever and just go on about your business. No, we have to take that process. Somebody has to take that process, and we can look through society and see where these things have occurred. And people should know that it's a crime and then it's a sin. And when these kinds of things happen, selfishness, someone thought about just themselves. They didn't think about the result. They didn't think about the consequences. They didn't think about the lives that they would hurt and the lives that would be impacted in a negative way if nothing is done. And then, of course, when something is done in a positive way with the awareness that you're bringing forth today. So I didn't want to just go on and on, but I want you to know that we are for you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
And something that you were saying in reference to, you know, self-worth, I was ministering to a young lady who experienced the same thing. It took her a while to just kind of talk about it. But even in her healing, you know, as time goes on, she discovered something new. You know, there's just so many layers to that onion. If we start peeling the onion away and we start getting closer and closer to the center of the onion, she discovered, because I used to, you know, minister to her all the time, and I would say, you know, because she's an awesome woman of God, you know, and I would say, okay, you have such an anointing. Why are you trying to hide behind the veil, if you will? And, you know, She recently discovered that it's because of she found another cracker in, you know, crumb cracker in the corner that had not been pulled from underneath the table, you know, that she found that was lying dormant, and it was because of self worth. And she feels like, you know, she needs to be validated in every decision that she makes. You know, and it could be the smallest thing. It could be moving or, you know, whether she should do this and whether she should do that. And it used to puzzle me, you know, because she's a single mom now. And I'm like, okay, I just don't understand. I'm not understanding. And finally, as she began to talk about peeling away the onion and, you know, just beginning to just really get comfortable in telling my testimony, came to light. That's exactly what it was. She was able to identify what that last stronghold was that was keeping her from going within ministry, you know, having to validate, you know, and call people and ask them questions and what do you think about this? And I remember ministering to her a couple of years ago, and the Lord dropped it in my spirit, and it had to have been him because I would have never thought about it myself. And I said, why are you calling people to validate what you know God has already told you to do? And when I heard it, it struck a chord, and I didn't hear from her for about 2 months. When I did hear from her, she had made a decision. She made a decision that she needed to have made 10 years earlier. And then I began to speak into her life, and I told her exactly what was going to happen. I said, now watch, because you were obedient and you trusted God and not what man has to say concerning your life, watch what God does in the next 90 days. She called me 2.5 weeks later and told me that that she was getting ready to have her initial sermon. I said, see, just because you were obedient and because you trusted God and not look for man for validation. And so I thank God for what you were saying about in reference to just, you know, having to just continuously heal, you know, and all the processes that we have to do. And one of the things I wanted to also say, you know, one of the hindrances is because it causes us to be vulnerable. And we don't like to be out of control. We're people who like to be in control of all that we do and say. But if we're going to be believers, the body believers, we have to give up that control, because we need to yield our members, our body, our soul, our whole self to the Lord. And in order to do that, you have to surrender. You got to throw your hands up and be like, you know what, God, it's none of me and it's all of you. And you have to step out on faith. And even in healing, you know, we have to trust God. You know, we have to know that there are people who will do right by us, if you will. And I just thank you for calling and encouraging, and I thank you for your comments. And that it is a truth that just has to come out, because God is truth, you know, as a body of believers. But even in those who are not in the body of believers, truth still has to come in. We still have to tell the truth, because when we tell the truth and we're honest with ourselves, healing begins. Until we admit that there is a problem, we're stuck on Stuck Street. I say again, we're stuck on Stuck Street and Unmovable Boulevard. We can't go nowhere.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not going to ever get anywhere. So, I mean, it took me a long time, longer than I should have. But, you know, that was then, and here I am now, and I realize now that, you know, my call was to go back and help somebody else, you know, that I can keep this to myself, you know, because when we talk about, you know, the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold, it's also talking about pulling other people in 30, 60, and 100-fold, you know, and we can apply that in a whole lot of ways. But that's one of the ways that we apply that 30, 60, and that 100-fold. We're talking about bringing other people in.
Yes.
I didn't mean to say that. But thank you for calling.
You are so right, Evangelist. I just want to just piggyback on that. You know, who would have known in that darkest time of your life, and it is a dark time, who would have known that through your healing, through your forgiveness, through your embracing the support system, today you speak for those who took it to the grave. You speak for those who spoke and were not believed. You speak for those who was born unable to talk or unable to communicate. And today your voice is heard throughout the United States and several continents, throughout several countries. They're listening to your victory, your success against the odds in probably the UK or probably in China. Someone on this planet today gets to hear that there is victory against the odds, victory against the mess, victory against the darkness. So it's empowering, but you get to see what's left. You get to see when you go through the healing, what you have to give back, what you have to share. And I'm a firm believer that love does conquer all, and you don't love what happened, you don't love the sin, but the healing enables you to love, and the love enables you to stand, and while standing, you're able to give back something that was taken from you, and so it's a powerful gift, and so we thank God for you for that, and we know that there's some people listening that can't talk. We know today, as we're on this air, talking and the phone is going in California. This message is being heard in the Middle Eastern states. There is some woman, there is some child that's listening, that's tuned in, or they'll tune in during the archives, and they'll say, you know, at this time, at this second, this happened to me, but I did not know where to go or where to turn. And so we're just honored today. We're just thankful that you took that portion of your life to give back, because that's why we're here. That's why we were born. You know, sometimes you meet people and, you know, they just act like the world's coming to an end and they're miserable because of the things that they went through. and they don't know where to turn or where to go, but they won't reach out. You know, they're still suspicious. They're still unloving. They're still unforgiving. They're still hurt. They are still what they went through. And again, I'm not downplaying the situation. I'm not downplaying what happened because I went through that. But I'm saying that we need to take those situations and those times and say, you know something, I can get through this, and I will get through this because, you know, you're a mother, I'm a mother, and there are people that we're going to meet that will cross our path, and what we do with the hurt will reflect either negatively or positively. And I'm sure you meet people on the street and in the church and out of the church, and they just have issues with themselves, issues with the world, issues in their marriage, issues on the job, and they're still carrying those dead bones. And it's dark.
Yeah.
It's dark. And it's like, you know, I have an issue, but I don't know which way to go, but I think I'm just going to take it out on you again. Not realizing that in order to become victorious and empowered, when we go through these things, we have to find a way to heal. That brings, and I mean a way, a positive way. You know, some people go in another direction, and they go to the other extreme where it's self, you know, they go into a self-destruction mapping, and they do things that hurt themselves. You've got to find, and they've got to find other ways.
Yes.
So I just wanted to just share that. Just so I'm sure after, you know, you'll hear from some people. People are going to call, and they're going to give you their story, and they're going to find that they do not have to remain stuck being, you know, unforgiving and suspicious and saying, well, am I less than a person? Because the shame that goes through that it carries, there's a shame that goes with it. Until you come to that place of victory, there's a shame, there's an embarrassment. The voice is telling you that there's something badly wrong with you, even as a child, even as a minor, that, you know, you're different from everybody else. Of course you're different because not everybody goes out of their, you know, goes in and sexually assaults people and rape people. So, yes, something has happened, and it's not good and it's not pleasant, but you can not be what you went through. So I wanted to just share that with you. Know that I love you, and we're in prayer. And for those that are listening, this is your time to get a piece of that and to get some degree of victory, to get some degree of healing. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a matter of fact, thank you for calling. For my listeners, just so you know, because I got a minute and some change left, I wanted to get this out there before I switch over to recording time. Next week, I will have a live survivor, as a matter of fact. Dr. Dew, I know you're listening, and I definitely wanted to give you this prop. In particular, we'll have Mr. Larry. Mr. Larry is a male survivor of child abuse, neglect, and depression and sexual abuse. Mr. Larry was sexually abused over 14 times in his life, first starting when he was 4 years of age. So I want you to join me again next week as he comes and tells his story about his life and what he went through as a male, and that will be live, and he's going to come in his own way. And I just invite you all to come back next Monday, November the 28th, live right here on Victory Against All Odds at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. We have all had some challenges in our lives, but we want everyone to know who is listening under the sound of my voice. You do not have to live in pain. It is possible to walk in freedom and deliverance of sexual abuse. Against all odds, you can walk in victory today. You can overcome all odds against you, every obstacle that comes and tries to block you and keep you down. So please join me again next week as we return right here on Victory Against All Odds. You can email me again at odds_against_U@yahoo.com. And I do want to let Dr. I think if I have another caller on the line, let me see. I did want to say as well as to make sure you too can overcome all odds against every obstacle that comes to try to block you and keep you bound. Don't be bound any longer. And to let you know that I am here. I have been walking in total victory. So to let you know that you can overcome every challenge, every emotional challenge that you're facing for yourself, your loved ones, your friends, your classmates, your coworker, and your church members. If they have any of these challenges, that they're more than welcome, you can have them email me. I'd be glad to hook them up with their appropriate resources depending on what state they're calling from, not limited to the state of North Carolina by any means. As well as you may Facebook me at facebook.com/victory, VICTORY, AA O. Thank you for listening. Join me next week as we return here on Block Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Thank you for listening.